Welcome to the But You're Wrong podcast. I'm Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Padilla.
Make sure you check us out every Wednesday, every Saturday on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
Be sure to check out But You're Wrong Facebook page, facebook.com/ButYou'reWrong. Please give us a like on there and follow us on Twitter at BYW Podcast.
And on YouTube at youtube.com/BYW Podcast. If you like Keith, make sure you check him out on the Amazon Kindle Marketplace. We now join the But You're Wrong podcast, already in progress.
The other thing that I think is that there's two types of people in the world. There are the high school people and the college people. And the college people, the college people are the people that like probably consider like college to be one of the best times of their life, or like in a major time in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So they have that kind of mindset that's like probably more open to stuff and like open to meeting people, I think. And then there's like the high school people that where they're just like, high school was the best time of my life and it will never be topped. And then they always seem very closed off.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like college people are always like, hey, like, last summer I did this crazy thing. But I feel like high school people are always like, no, yeah, it kind of reminds me of this one time senior year that we went out, we were drinking on the weekend. It was totally awesome. And you're just like, I probably already heard this story, or it's probably the exact same thing. Like, you guys probably did the same thing with a slight variation.
Yeah, everyone did that.
Yeah.
Everyone did that.
Everyone did everything in high school. So speaking of high school, I might have to cut part of this, but I'm going to tell the story anyway, because I'm assuming nobody listens. Rachel's in charge of her high school reunion.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know when mine is happening or if mine is happening. I haven't heard anything about it. They're doing hers around Thanksgiving.
Hers, as in the bris?
What?
Nothing. You haven't said what it actually is, so I just...
Oh, I thought I said high school reunion.
Oh, high school reunion. Oh, okay. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I thought maybe I didn't say that. We'll have to listen. Whoever's listening, right?
Of high school.
Oh, I thought I said high school reunion.
You know what? You might have, and I just blanked. I'm sorry.
I don't know.
I just screwed up the whole thing.
Whoever's listening right now is going, he fucking said it 5 minutes ago. Or they're going, no, Greg's right. He didn't fucking say it.
Yeah.
Or they both forgot, and right now a wife and husband are arguing in the car while listening to this.
And they're like, no, he said it. No, he didn't say it. And one of them is probably going to end up dead.
Yeah.
Or both, because the car is going to crash.
Yeah. Or they might end up divorced.
Yeah.
On the upside, though...
They were probably going to end up divorced anyways.
But yeah. Odds are in their favor for that, yeah. Unfortunately. But if they say on the divorce papers, reason for divorce, and they put But You're Wrong podcast, and then we get that on the internet, that'd be wonderful press for us.
Yeah, we'll give you a shout out.
Yeah. Hey, do you want to divorce your significant other? Our show will help you out.
It's a great thing to put up. We should start our own lawyer's office.
Yeah. All we do is just hand them a CD with an episode on it. It's just this episode, and we're just like, just go for a drive. Go for a really long drive in a rental car where the radio's broken and you can only listen to this one CD.
You'll hate us.
Where were we? Oh, so her high school reunion is happening in around Thanksgiving. I don't know if or when mine is happening. Maybe it's happening at the end of the year. I don't know. I thought they were usually around like Thanksgiving because that's when most people are home.
Yeah.
Although, in this area, everybody's pretty much around here. So I don't know why that's important.
No one ever leaves.
Like, it's a weird thing. Most of these people already hang out with each other.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, man, I can't wait for the high school reunion. And it's really – they just can't wait for a party. Like, they can't wait for this big party. and then to see like the one the few people that they didn't hang out with so that they can pick on those people.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah. Because, I mean, really, at this point, if you haven't seen somebody, you probably don't want to hang out with them.
Exactly.
So, I mean, even if we are having a high school reunion, or they've had it and they just didn't invite me, I probably wouldn't go or wouldn't have gone anyway. Because I just don't care.
You are a chooch.
Yeah. I literally haven't talked to anybody from high school in years. And I'm okay with that.
I don't talk to many people from high school. Just a couple.
Yeah.
Again, if I don't talk to you, I probably don't want to.
Yeah. I mean, it happens. But anyway, this is a roundabout way of saying that Rachel's actually in charge of her high school reunion because she was student council president. So
she has no choice.
She has a choice in going, I think, but she doesn't have a choice in participating in the prep work.
Unless she just disowns them.
She's already said she's not doing it again. And I don't know what the next one would be. Would it be 15 or 20?
I think once you get to 10, it starts being on the 10s. You know, yeah, I think it would go 5, 10, 20.
I've never heard of anybody doing a 5.
I have. I have never participated in one. But yes, I have done it for 5.
I'm going to have to find that audio and clip it. So it says, I've never heard of a 5. And you go, I have, but I've never participated in it. I'm gonna bring back the previous Leon just for that clip.
Okay.
But she had somebody help her out with the invitations, and the invitations came in the mail, and we looked at them and they were okay. I mean, somebody did them themselves. They didn't get like a professional to do them, but they looked pretty good for just an amateur doing them. And made sure, like, all the important information was on there, like, how much it's going to cost per person and, like, where to send it and all that stuff. And then we're sitting around, and I'm looking at the invitation again. I'm looking at it. And I said, hey, where's the, where's it being held again? And she said, at the, such and such convention, or the such and such event center. And I said, oh, are you sure it's not the such and such event center? And she went, you're kidding, right? And I went, nope. It says event center, not event center.
Nice.
And she was like, oh my God.
The event center.
Yeah, the event center.
I thought you were going to tell me that the location just wasn't even on there.
No, it's on there. Unless there is also an event center, then it's in trouble.
Then they're going to show up at a bad place, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what the event center is, but it can't be good.
You send in a bunch of people to the hood at the event center. The event center is in a nice area.
Hey, man, no, we're going to meet up at the event center.
So there's already misspellings on the invitations.
Wait, did you say a misspelling or did you say misspellings?
Oh, I said misspellings.
Okay, good, because
I was hoping that was the case.
I was looking a little bit further down and it said music and appetizers.
Appetizers?
No, appetizers. Appetizers, because the second I was in there. But the first I was also in there, and there shouldn't have been the first I. There should only have been the second I.
Oh.
So it was appetizers. I was like, oh, well, I don't know what that is. I guess that's might be a good thing.
They're really, really good. Huh.
She was mortified by it.
Now, I may get ridiculed for this statement, and you can tell Rachel in advance that I don't mean anything by it. The appetizer thing, I don't know if too many people out that way are going to notice. The even center, I feel like most people will notice.
Yeah, appetizers it might not, but it wasn't big letters.
Appetizers was?
Yeah, appetizers. Appetizers.
Why? Because they want to make sure people come, so they're like, there's going to be food!
Yeah, it was like an ad for Fridays. They were like, appetizers!
Oh.
It, yeah. Oh my.
I mean, that's how I would go. Yeah, I'm not...
Every time I looked at it, I would just start cracking up. And Rachel would just get so mad at me.
If you want me to go someplace, you better tell me that there's food and a bar. If there's neither, forget it.
Can it be a pay bar?
Yeah, there has to be, as long as there's booze.
As long, okay, because there is a bar, but it is a pay bar.
Yeah, I could do with that.
But yeah, there's also appetizers. I think it's just funny that the word pit is in the middle. Then it's like, yeah, we dug this stuff out of a pit. Here you go, have it. Put it on a cracker. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Enough light. You won't even notice.
Enough of that pay bar. You won't know.
Oh, but she was mortified. But she was like, I got to make sure people know it wasn't me that did these.
Oh, I was just going to ask, was it her that like sent them to the place to get printed or?
No, it was somebody else like put it together. And Rachel and I were away the weekend that she was like, hey, like, do you want me to try and send it to you? And she's like, hey, it's not loading on my phone. But yeah, that's like. That's fine. Like, if you think they're good, then just go ahead and send them.
Yeah.
So, like, if this was, like, if this was an Apprentice episode, I mean, Rachel probably would be the one fired.
Right.
But, I mean, people at home would be going, send the other one home.
Right.
She's the one that screwed up.
True. But Rachel is the...
She's the project manager.
Exactly. So she's ultimately held accountable.
Yeah. Like, the boardroom would come down to her, this other girl, and then Omarosa, because she's in everything. She's an everything Apprentice.
I think I know who you mean.
She's the black one that's real mean that was engaged to or dating Michael Clark Duncan when he died.
Yeah, I think I know who you mean.
And then when she was on the last season, she was like... Because I watched all of the last season because Gary Busey was on it.
Oh, yeah.
But she would just like break down in the boardroom about Michael Clark Duncan all the time. You know, because
really?
He's dead.
Well, yeah, I know he's dead.
But like she would break down about him and like or like she had to deal with something and they were like, yeah, no, deal with whatever you have to deal with. And like she left. And then, like, she came back, and because of something else, like, they were trying to be like, well, like, yeah, she left, and that was fine. But then it's when she came back, and she was like, Mr. Trump, I'm really upset because of what happened.
Like, she's still upset about Michael?
Yeah, well, I think when it was recorded, it was actually it was fairly recent.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, that happened a little while ago.
But I think... Like, she was still kind of, you know, and everybody was like, oh, such fake tears. Not Janet Jackson. Who's the other one? LaToya. Oh,
yes, LaToya, the one that actually looks a lot like Michael.
Yes, especially now.
Yeah, after he turned into a woman.
She looks like the alien in Men in Black came and then put on a LaToya suit.
Like the alien put on a LaToya suit?
Yeah. You know how when the alien comes down in Men in Black, he puts on like the Edgar suit and it kinda looks like
D'Onofrio.
Thank you. Yeah, it kinda looks like him, but it kinda doesn't. Like that's what LaToya looks like. Like she kinda looks like LaToya that you remember, but she kinda doesn't.
Yeah, I guess that's what happens when you have like 80 plastic surgeries on your face.
Yeah. Like, I was kind of against her at the beginning, but then she kept calling out Omarosa, and I was like, you know what? I'm good. I like her.
No.
You know who else was on that season besides them and Gary Busey? Somebody we just recently talked about.
Was that the same season with Meatloaf? Because I know Meatloaf and Gary Busey had an issue.
No, Meatloaf was before that.
Oh, okay. Who do we just talk about? Oh, Steve Harmon? Not Steve Harmon. Mark Harmon?
No. Think a lower list celebrity. Like, yeah. I would put him probably D-list.
D-list.
I mean, everybody would know him for the most part, especially if they watched TV in, like, the 70s.
Oh, Eric Estrada?
No, but you're getting warmer now. You're getting a little bit warmer.
I mean, that is a D-list celebrity.
He has a speech impediment.
Oh, Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah.
Well, he's deaf.
Not anymore.
What do you mean not anymore?
Well, I mean, he probably is, but he got the surgery to get, like, the implants.
Oh, so he... So they did, like, inserted hearing apparatuses in his ears?
Yeah, I forget what you call them, but yeah, I think he got, like, the surgery in his ears.
Oh, okay.
I think Gary Busey did that, too. Like, Gary Busey was losing his hearing, but Lou Ferrigno had, like, lost it for a while. Like, I don't think he was born that way, but I think he lost it in childhood.
I think, yeah, no. I looked it up once, and I think Lou Ferrigno... who could hear for, like, the first, like, 5 years of his life and then went deaf. And
yeah, because he actually, like, he speaks pretty well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I feel like...
Where did Lou Ferrigno grow up, though? Well, you know what? I'm thinking that Lou Ferrigno, it's possible, because English could have been tough. Like, say, what if his parents were, like, immigrants or something?
I don't know. Why? You know what? Let's look this up.
Like, think about it. Like, if Lou was, like, 5 years old before he lost his hearing, and his parents were, like, say, like, right off the boat from Italy, and all he heard was Italian, and then so, like, he knew that, but then he goes deaf, and he got all these people talking to him in another language that he never heard before. That's got to be annoying.
Well, I'm trying to find out here. Let's see.
I might have just made that whole thing up, but.
I don't know. It sounded so, and for a second, like, you were pulling on my heartstrings a little bit, and I was like,
"Yeah, the poor guy, the son of poor immigrants, goes deaf at such a young age."
Oh wait, here it is. Son of Giuseppe Ferrigno.
No, that sounds about right.
Okay. Hang on, you got some stuff right. Now, where did you say he grew up?
I didn't say where he grew up, but I'm assuming it was in around New York.
Yeah, Brooklyn.
No way.
Brooklyn, New York. Matt Ferrigno, a police lieutenant. He is of Italian descent, obviously.
Yes.
Ferrigno says he believes he suffered a series of ear infections and lost 75 to 80% of his hearing, though his condition was not diagnosed until he was 3 years old.
Oh, so even younger.
So he could still kind of hear, but he was basically deaf.
Yeah.
Due to ear infections, he's been using hearing aids since the age of 5.
Okay.
And I thought there was something, maybe he, I think he did. And then I want to say Gary Busey might have too.
I feel like if Gary Busey was losing his hearing, I feel like he probably did it to himself. Any health issue, I feel like he did that to himself.
Let's see. Well, it might have been because of the bike, the motorcycle accident.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that. I mean, his chiclet teeth.
Speaking of Gary Busey, I relayed the plots to Lethal Weapon and Lethal Weapon 2 to... the group this weekend at Penn State with surprising accuracy and detail because they were getting them confused. And I was like, let me take you through what happens.
The fact that you could really differentiate them, especially while drinking, is pretty good.
Apparently, I've seen them both a lot. Well, I start with the fact that the first one is where the topless chick falls off the building.
Yes, it is.
Possibly my first or one of my first sets of tits in a movie.
Yeah.
And then I go from there. And then the second...
That's a good place to start. So this is the beginning of the first movie.
The second one, whenever people are like... the second one I always know is the one with the South Africans. So then sometimes with that one, I have to start in the middle and work my way out.
Right. Because you don't know right away who the bad guy is there.
Yeah, like I'm always like, oh, it's the South Africans. That's the one. So at the end, he says diplomatic immunity. And then... And then Danny Glover does the thing with his head and then shoots him right through the passport. and then before that, he pulls the house down because they killed the hot blonde girl. That was also South African, or maybe she was like Dutch. Maybe she was like Dutch, but she like moved to South Africa.
Aren't the South Africans Dutch? Or the white ones?
Well,
or like actually Dutch.
They're Dutch descent, some of them. Like, okay. I feel like those guys were actually South African, but she was like, actually, I'm actually Dutch.
She's legit Dutch.
I feel like she says something like that in the movie.
She wears wooden shoes.
Yes.
Loves windmills.
Yes. She wore the wooden shoes and then used them to jerk off Mel Gibson. Is what happened, I believe.
Splinted dick.
Is what I believe happened in the movie. I'm going to now try to add splinter dick to Urban Dictionary, too.
Getting jerked off with wooden clogs by a Dutch woman.
Yes. And then later a comment's going to say, does not have to be a Dutch woman, could be any woman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Someone's going to take offense to the fact that, you know, you used a Dutch woman.
My wife's Italian. She still jerked me off with wooden shoes.
It's Lou Ferrigno's daughter.
I still have to go back and listen to that. I'm curious what my voice actually sounded like as opposed to what I heard in my head.
I mean, I enjoyed it.
I'm sure it's great. I was looking something up though when I got sidetracked. Oh, Gary Busey.
Busey, yeah. About the hearing.
And then I remember once I work my way back, I go back to the South African consulate or embassy or whatever it is, and to when Joe Pesci comes in, and he's like, "Hey, listen, we help my friend here. He's got a he says he wants to go to South Africa. I don't think it's a good idea." And then the guy's like, "No, sure, we'll talk to him. I mean, I think there's a lot of opportunity there." And then Danny Glover comes from around the corner, and the guy's like, "But you're black, sir." And then Danny Glover throws a fit. I remember he says, "Fascist white regime."
Yes. But yeah, topical for nowadays. Yeah.
That's where Joe Pesci comes into the picture. And then he stays for three movies.
Yeah, that's true.
And then by the end, they're like, "Well, I guess we should still put Joe Pesci in here, but we don't really have anything for him to do. Let's make him a private investigator." That's not an exaggeration. He really is a private investigator in the third movie. Or fourth movie.
Fourth, yeah. I mean, to be honest, the only thing I remember about the fourth movie is the beginning. With the guy with the flamethrower and the machine gun.
That's right.
And Danny Glover wearing his boxer shorts, clucking like a chicken.
Oh, yeah.
And Mel Gibson shooting the tank on the back of the flamethrower.
Yeah, which might not work.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
I think I read.
It sounds like a good idea.
I think I read somewhere that they were going to test that on MythBusters, but then they realized not enough people saw that movie.
Well, so. Again, you could throw that. You know, not to relive last episode too much, but video game logic—they have you do shit like that all the time.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That doesn't mean it's correct though.
True. Here's where I was for the one where Danny Glover's oldest daughter is trying to be an actress and she's in a commercial for condoms And they give him a tree with a bunch of condoms on it.
I thought...
No, maybe that's the third
one. No, I thought the fourth one, she was pregnant. So that might be like the third one.
Oh, that's right. Wait, is she pregnant by Chris Rock in that one?
Oh, I forget. I mean, I remember Chris Rock was in it. I remember a couple scenes with
them. Yeah, I think that's
Joe Pesci. But I don't remember much about the fourth.
I remember Chris Rock and Joe Pesci do this thing about cell phones.
Yes, I remember that.
I remember they do this thing about cell phones. I think you're right about the pregnancy. I remember they get a Chinese guy high on laughing gas, and he says the line, "I'm sleeping with my wife's two sisters," and then they all laugh. And then Rene Russo is also pregnant.
Mm.
And then she's gonna pop out. She's gonna pop out a kid at the end, but she said, "No, now I want to get married." And Joe Pesci's there for some reason. And then, like, Joe Pesci just kind of wormed his way into their life. Like, they were like, "Hey, like, we're gonna protect you because that's our job." And then all of a sudden, he's always hanging out with them.
I don't know. I mean, maybe they just wanted to make the whole gang as multicultural as possible.
And Joe Pesci fits in how? Italian?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not really that's not box on the census, so I don't really count that as a...
Well, I said cultural. I didn't say race.
All right, I guess that's true. As long as it's not a Jew. Right, Mel Gibson?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I remember. Oh, and then Joe Pesci, they want to. Wait, I think, does he play a Jew in it? I don't know why they have to do it. Because they're like, somebody's Jewish in there, in the room or whatever, and for some reason they need to do the Mazel Tov and break the cup. So Joe Pesci runs over to a guy that just did a urine sample, opens it up, dumps it out, like wraps it up in his handkerchief, and then puts it on the floor, and has Mel Gibson stamp on it. And he's like, "Mazel Tov!" And they're like, "Okay, go have the baby."
Actually, I think he might supposed to be a Jew. Because his last name is Getz, isn't it?
Yeah. No wonder Mel Gibson was pissed off at the Jews.
Yeah, because Joe Pesci is so annoying.
Yeah, I think he ruined those movies. I mean, he was pretty good in the second one.
Yeah. I love Joe Pesci. But...
If he had brought the caliber that he had in JFK to 3 and 4, then maybe we were getting somewhere.
Oh, Keith.
Gary Busey? Is that what you're asking me about?
I was actually going to go someplace else.
Oh, I can't find anything on Gary Busey in a hearing aid. So I think it was Lou Ferrigno.
Okay, cool. So I was thinking we'd take this in a different direction, if that's all right with you.
Let's turn down the lights.
Yeah, actually, yeah, turn down the lights, yeah.
All right, I'm sitting in darkness.
Okay.
I got the glow of my monitor on.
Yeah. Yeah, you dig out?
Sure.
Okay, good, good. Just making sure.
It's always out.
So, now you're a writer.
Yeah. No,
Have you ever heard of, I've come across a new author.
Okay.
I
love hearing about new authors.
Yeah. Now she's not very famous yet.
Okay.
But her name is Christy Sims.
Christy Sims. Okay. Yeah. I don't think I know her.
She's a little known, but she writes. She writes a series of books, and she's gaining a little bit of notoriety on the internet right now. And I'd like to just talk about her. I think she writes about a very important topic that is often overlooked by people like us.
Okay. Wait, people like people in general or people like you and me? Because if it's people like you and me, then nobody must know about this. I mean, because there's not a lot we overlook.
All right. I'll say people in general probably. Okay. No, I know people in general overlook this.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Hang on.
Let's be honest.
Let me tell my mom to turn off the radio right now. Mom, turn off your radio right now.
She might like it, actually.
It's like she's sitting. I don't know why I'm telling her to turn off the radio. Like, she's sitting. First of all, like, she listens. Second of all, like, she's in front of, like, the big old timey radio that glows from the inside with the tubes and everything.
Oh, and the big ass knobs. Like, yeah. It's not just a radio, it's also a piece of furniture.
Yeah, like, Mom, get up. Well, wait a minute. You cross the room, turn the knob off, or tune in. I think Buck Rogers is starting in about 5 minutes, so. Anyway, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Buck Rogers. All right. So I came across a little article here, and I'll start it off. 50 Shades of Grey has already taken the publishing world by storm.
Mm-hmm.
But is the world ready for dinosaur erotica?
What?
We recently uncovered the short works of two authors, Christy Sims and Alara Branwen. I think she kind of helps write the stories. Who write erotic stories featuring dinosaurs. These odd books are available for purchase on Amazon and Kindle. And sellers are cautioning, warning, this is a tale of beast sex. The story was written to unlock your darkest fantasies and innermost desires. It is not for the faint of heart. This is not your mother's erotica. The covers feature beautiful women dressed in lingerie while dinosaurs lurk closely behind. So, would you like to know the names of some of the books?
Yeah.
There is,
Wait, hang on. Let me see if I can guess some of them.
Oh, you know what? That's a good idea, actually.
All right. Now, is there, like, a play on dinosaur names, too?
Actually, they use the dinosaur names in the name, in the names of the books, but, like, I won't say it doesn't describe like an erotic action, but it's like with the whatever dinosaur.
So like Tyrannosaurus Fucks isn't a title.
No, unfortunately.
Okay. Because that I think would be a good one.
I think so too. There's two with T-Rexes. I'll give you one of them.
Okay, yeah, give me one so I have an idea here.
Taken by the T-Rex.
Okay, Taken by the T-Rex. That actually doesn't sound sexy unless you read it sexy.
Yeah, you're right.
Is one of them felt up by the Brontosaurus?
No.
Okay. Is Brontosaurus in any of them?
No.
Okay. Because I feel like there should be one with the Brontosaurus. That's the one with the long neck, right?
Yes.
So I feel like the title should be like being eaten out 5 stories off the ground by the Brontosaurus. Yeah.
That would be something.
Like she's just outside of like she's just sticking her lower half outside of the window of her apartment and the Brontosaurus is just there going to town.
Just going to town.
Yeah.
It's basically the scene where they're in the tree in Jurassic Park, but instead it's just
sexy.
Eating a vagina instead of eating leaves.
I wonder if that's where she got the idea. Like, she was watching the Brontosaurus and was like, I feel strangely turned on right now.
I don't know. But she's turned on by weird things.
Let's see. Okay. Is riding a verb? Is it like riding the mastodon?
No. Is getting a little close.
Is riding something, though?
No, no riding.
Okay, but something with a mastodon.
No mastodon. Oh. I'll give you another one. Ravished by the Triceratops.
Okay. I mean, that seems like something that would happen for real. Actuality. Because with the horns and shit.
There is one that kind of describes a more of a sexual act. It is
blowing a pterodactyl.
No. Well, now, so she has some books. She has some that are most of them are dinosaurs. Not every single one is dinosaurs. I guess some of her earlier ones were.
Is one like a saber-toothed tiger?
One is a griffin.
Okay.
And it's mounted by the griffin.
Okay.
There's also Running from the Raptors and Captured by the Orcs.
All right. That one sounds particularly weird.
Yeah. So this woman. Hold on here.
Is one of them felt up by the tiny arms of a T-Rex?
I have downloaded a sample off the Kindle.
Oh my god.
But it didn't include any of the sex scenes.
How much is a book?
It was like $3.
Wait a minute. Okay, you did not mention, because now I know I obviously can't guess any of them, but I will be guessing other titles later and trying to come up with more. You did not tell me that on her author page, maybe you didn't know, is just a picture of her on all fours on the beach.
Her? No, on the cover of the books, right?
No, there's a picture of, I don't know, maybe it's not her. But there's a picture of a blonde in a bikini on all fours on the beach her picture as the on the Amazon author page.
No, that's not her. She's a black woman.
Oh, okay. Just kind of threw that out there.
Google image search her name. Or Google image search T-Rex Trouble is another one of the books. There's all the books have girls in like bikinis and stuff. And then there's a dinosaur in the background. So I do have, if you'd like to me to read a little bit of one of the books here. Yeah. This is from Taken by the T-Rex, I believe. Oh, no, I'm sorry. This is In the Velociraptor's Nest. I lied.
I just want to point out that all these covers are terrible Photoshop.
Oh, they're bad. I don't even think the girls, all of them are real. Like the T-Rex Trouble one, she looks like she's like digitally created.
Taken by the T-Rex looks like one chick's body and another chick's head. Like, yeah. The chick's head is real pale. The chick's body's real tan.
Yeah. No, it's really bad.
Oh, my God. This is ridiculous. But, yeah, I guess start a little sample. Let me see if I can find a something else here.
All right. So she's – all right. this is a sample of In the Velociraptor's Nest. Instead, it reached out with a clasped hand to snatch her damp animal hide. As it clung to her shoulder, Azog felt the kiss of sharp claws against her skin as the hide slid from her shoulder and exposed a naked, heaving breast. The raptor paused, curious, sniffing at her as it pressed her deeply against the wall. A reptilian tongue, stiff and hot, dashed out to lick at the tender, naked flesh, so suddenly exposed. Azog gasped at the touch, then gradually relaxed as her body warmed to the intoxicating sensation of the beast's flesh against her own. It goes on a little bit more from there. Basically, what the woman's description, her little bio, hold on, I have it here. What does she say about herself?
I really want to know how the women get into these situations.
I guess in the world where these exist, the dinosaurs and people live, could they coexist?
So it's like Land of the Lost?
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, Rescuing the Centaur.
Ooh. Sounds good. Kind of.
The Devil in Mrs. James.
Sorry. Basically, her bio says that it's something like, I'm trying to look for it, but basically she says that she has a deep desire, or like she gets turned on by the idea of being fucked by a monster.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
Yes. So that includes like horror monsters and dinosaurs, which is, I think this is kind of her latest foray is into the dinosaur erotica. Now, at the time that this article I was reading was written, there was no reviews for her book up on, or for the dinosaur books up on Kindle. But I did find a review here that I thought was pretty good. I was very happy with the person that wrote this.
Wait, would you like to read some reviews for Taken by the T-Rex? Because there are some.
Oh, are there?
Yeah, there. Believe it or not, there are 10 five-star reviews.
Okay, because, see, I have, let's see here.
This second review is accurate and reliable.
Well, this
I'm sorry, relatable. That makes it even better.
Yes, this is the best one. It's, it is very uncommon and to find accurate depictions of dinosaur on woman sex. If, like me, you have found it increasingly difficult to satisfy your need to recount old times, then this library masterpiece is for you. No other author has truly been able to both arouse and entice my intense desire to mate with a T-Rex as accurately and successfully as Christy Sims. I would not be surprised if this book outsells the Bible and brings about a new age of literary enlightenment.
The first two comments on that are just slow clap.
I thought that was an absolutely brilliant review.
Well done. Well done. Wait, it's only 17 pages.
Yeah, most of them are really short, I guess.
See, this is what we need to unlock. We need to unlock something like this.
So you mean we need to start doing something like this?
Yeah, like let's
do. Is that what you're insinuating?
No, I'm not saying let's fuck dinosaurs. What I'm saying is
no. No, I know that.
What I'm saying is let's find something ridiculous to fuck and then write about it and then put it on Amazon and let people buy it.
Hmm.
Because honestly, if we could probably write a bunch of these in like a weekend and then just...
I mean, that's the thing. I was reading her little samples here, and they're not good. Like, I mean, obviously they're not good, but they're not good on top of being stupid. And it's like, I mean, people – see, the thing is that now, because it's so outlandish, she's going to get people buying it. Like, there were news articles – not news, but like there were articles written online about this.
It's on the internet is what you're saying.
Yes. And people like me and you, it crossed our minds
to buy it. Yeah.
To buy it for hilarity reasons, but still, at the end of the day, she's the one getting the money, and she's the one laughing. I don't know. Do you think it's like? Do you think it's all just like a? You know, she's just doing it to be ridiculous.
She must be.
I mean, you hope so. You hope that she's not really into the idea of getting fucked by a dinosaur? I don't know. I would honestly kind of like to read some of the graphic descriptions of the sex. I think it would be really interesting.
Man, I hope she put some of these on sale maybe. Maybe when things start to wait, with the were-tiger? Okay, so now we're just making up animals to fuck.
a were-tiger?
Yeah. So
that's a werewolf tiger?
I'm assuming it's like, I mean, a werewolf. He just changes into a tiger. A were-tiger in Heat? Yeah, now we're just making shit up.
Well, I mean, it's not that different from before.
Menage of the werewolves. Werewolf, multiple males, one female, erotica.
Yeah, see, she wants to be, like, dominated. You know, she's talking about monsters having sex with women.
What's a warg?
Werewolves. A what?
A warg.
I don't know.
A W-A-R-G. Well, that's not what I wanted. A warg. Oh, it's something. It's some kind of wolf in Norse mythology.
Yeah, a lot of the things she seems to write about aren't real. I mean, other than the
fact. Well, yes, we realize that.
Never mind, I don't need to say anything else after that.
Some guy at home was just like tugging on his dick, and he went, "Wait, what?"
Greg just said this wasn't real. What am I doing?
I hope she's listening right now, and she's like, "He's right. I can't do this anymore." She uses Taken By a lot.
Yeah.
Taken By the Hydra.
The Hydra? Like a water monster? Or like the evil corporation in Captain America?
I'm going to say, based on what's been said so far, I'm going to assume it's the water monster.
Damn.
Like, I'm going to say, in this one, I'm going to say she's probably in the tub. And then the Hydra comes out, and she's like, yeah.
Yeah, and she just spreads her legs. Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, let's read the description of this one. Shayla leads a simple life, traveling in a convoy of caravans to trade her wares in different destinations. What?
She live in Skyrim?
Maybe that's what this is supposed to be. Like, maybe the world that they live in is all Skyrim, but the women on the covers are all somehow able to get modern clothing and makeup.
Yeah, see, that's what blew my mind, is because I was reading them and it's all like, oh, the huntress and like the hide skin, like clothes and everything. And I'm like, okay, so this takes place in like thousands of years ago.
But she's wearing leggings. Like, what?
The girls on the covers have, like, bikinis. Like, the Trouble, T-Rex Trouble one? Like, that chick looks like she just came from spring break.
Let's see. She has...
I don't know. Why are we getting picky about this?
I don't know. You expected this to happen, though, right? She has few possessions, but she is content. Or nearly so. Then...
Oh, boy.
Then a raiding party descends on her convoy, and Shayla must run into the swamps to escape the raping thieves, only to find something much larger and potentially lustier waiting for her in the bog.
Yeah.
And you know what's sad? She probably wasted an opportunity. Like, it's probably an actual Hydra. It's probably not like man or animal with just like a bunch of dicks. It's probably just a bunch of heads with one dick.
A bunch of heads, one dick?
Yeah.
Are you sure? You think so?
I would imagine that's what a normal Hydra is. Like, it's one body.
Yeah.
But I'm saying,
to be honest, I'm not sure.
Actually, you know what? This cover doesn't look that bad. Ravished in Flight 3, Dragon Erotica. Because whatever picture she found, she was able to Photoshop a dragon head into it pretty well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, Bound for the Dragon? Dragon Monster BDSM Erotica.
Ooh. She's got everything.
She really does. What's BBW again?
Big Beautiful Woman?
Yeah, that's right. She's got some of that on there, too.
Yeah, she does.
Oh, finally, Vampire. I didn't hit Vampire for a while. Gargoyles now. We're now into Gargoyles, too.
Oh, okay. Because, yeah, I actually did see the Vampire one before, or I heard that she did that, you know, through the grapevine. I didn't know about the Gargoyles, though. That's a whole nother direction. I don't know if I'm ready for that.
Artistic Temperaments is the Gargoyle erotica. Erotic Milking Stories 1-3 story bundle, and it's milking erotica.
Milking? Like as in lactating?
Yes. There's Hunter's Honey Bunny, Bunny Girl erotica.
Milk. It better be about Jessica Rabbit, otherwise I'm not interested.
Yeah. Here's another milking erotica one.
Man. I mean, she's just really into fucked up shit.
I mean, maybe it's just all a goof. Maybe it's just all one big goof.
You hope so, don't you?
I really hope so, but I guess you wonder. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's not for a couple people.
Some people like it.
I want to find a serious review of one of these.
That might be tough.
Wait, here's a one-star one. Oh, Donald Fraser said, samples preposterously brief. Must admit, intrigued, but the sample doesn't contain nearly enough for one to explore how the author goes about it. The writing part, that is.
Oh.
Fuck you, guy.
What a loser.
Fuck that guy and his big, ugly, dumb face.
Is there a picture of him?
No. Oh. No, that's my new thing. Whenever I get mad at people, I just say, fuck that guy or girl and their big, ugly, dumb face.
Oh, okay.
That's your new thing? That's my new thing. Whenever I think of how angry I am at people, I'm just like, yeah, they probably have a big, dumb face that they're going to get fucked
in. I guess I'll be on the lookout for that then.
Now my internet's not going back. I want more. I want to find more terrible reviews.
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, wait, no, I want to read this one. It's The Dinosaur's Keeper. Katie is an unhappy zookeeper. She cleans up dung all day long, and her boss, Julio, doesn't appreciate her. When Julio asks her to pull, and then just stops, because it's not working. I don't know. What does Julio ask her to do? When Julio asks her to pull down her pants, she does not expect that there's a dinosaur behind her.
Wait,
I'm just making it up.
Oh, you're making that.
Okay, now how does it work if you give as a gift on Amazon? Can I send this book to somebody randomly then?
I guess so, yeah.
Like, if I'm just like, oh, I know this person that has a Kindle, I'm gonna send them anonymously this fucked up book. How great would that be? They're just like, oh, I'm so tired, I just want to go to bed, I'll read for a little bit, let me just turn on my Kindle here, and let's see, I forget what I have to read, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, and then they read it and they actually get aroused.
Yeah, and then they're just like, well, I just learned something about myself.
Yeah, you really learned something about yourself. You're getting aroused by dinosaur porn.
Yeah. This is by poorly written dinosaur porn at that.
That's true, too.
That's just, okay, so we have werewolves covered, orcs. I feel like everything's covered.
Yeah.
I don't know where we can find a niche in this.
Sorry about the siren. My windows are closed, too.
Eh, it happens. Especially in your neck of the woods.
Yeah.
let's see. What? Okay. Oh, she's even got demon shit.
Really?
Yeah. So what market can we corner? We gotta find something else. Or I guess we don't really. I mean, I assume we could just find another... I mean, I guess we could go with dinosaurs, but we could make the titles a little bit better.
Yeah, make the covers a little sexier.
Yeah. I mean, like, we could maybe we could find like an underground. Maybe there's an underground market for these that we don't know about, and we could go all out on the titles and be like, you know, like titty fucking a Stegosaurus.
Yeah.
A Tale of Dinosaur Erotica.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a good one. What's a dinosaur that starts with a C?
I don't know. Dinosaur that starts with a C.
Yeah, I can't think of any. damn.
Why? What were you going for?
Cum swapping, whatever.
Well,
what's the one that spits the stuff? Diloposaurus. Can't use anything with that. I mean, you could, especially because it spits stuff.
You know what you could do? You could do
dick in the Diloposaurus.
You don't even have to do it with that. You could do like all swallowing Diloposaurus, because you know people are used to them spitting, and then they're like, oh, they swallow now. And on everything, we just put like volume 8.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter. I mean, you could say it's the 15th one.
Yeah.
But, you know, no one knows.
It's like Whale Tail in 14.
Would you say Whale Tail in 14?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a shit ton of volumes of that. I mean, some of them, you know, I mean, do they walk on two legs? I'm trying to look for... I've run out of dinosaur names at this point.
Yeah, I don't... I mean, she took all of them, honestly.
I'm looking forward to when they make a some kind of a thing, like a computer-generated dinosaurs fucking, and then we can read one of her stories over that, but interlay things from Jurassic Park. Mm. So then, like right before the dinosaur cum shot, there's the guy going, shoot her!
And then, yeah, that would be pretty good. Like,
and, and then at the beginning, we have Samuel Jackson going, hold on to your butts.
Pretty good.
Yeah. A lot of stuff with that.
A lot of potential there. We're really...
You know, we have one of the dinosaurs say, oh, I don't know if it'll fit, and then the guy at the beginning go, nature always finds a way.
Oh
yeah, I mean we gotta find something.
He's like, you got the Magnum condoms? We spared no expense.
I hope they're not lambskin, otherwise they'll just eat them.
Just sitting there eating the condoms.
No, they use the lambskin for oral sex. It's like flavored condoms for us. Oh, okay.
Speak for yourself.
I meant us as like humans, not...
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to make a judgment on you. All right, here's my question, and I don't know if I want to search this. I literally logged out of Amazon, so the next time I bring it up, it won't be like, people who search for your recent things also search for this.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just a ton of just, like, dino porn. I'm going to look up dinosaur erotica and see what other things come up.
Like Google image search?
No, I'm looking up... Oh, no, that'd be a good thing, too. I'm looking to see if she's got the market cornered on this. I think she does. Oh, no, wait, here's Natalie Black mating at the Dinosaur Museum, although I don't think that's the, same thing. Although this one does. I didn't think of this one. Amy Silva, great title. T-Sex.
T-Sex. Makes sense.
I went for Tyrannosaurus Fucks. Let's see. Dominated by the Dinosaur by Lucy Sparks. Pleasured by the... Plesiosaurus. That's also by Lucy Sparks. I like, where was the other title? 50 Shades of Paleontology. Now this one is a little bit different because it's Billionaire Dinosaur Erotica.
Billionaire?
Yeah, Billionaire Dinosaur Erotica. So I don't know if the dinosaur is a billionaire or she's fucking the guy from Jurassic Park.
Oh.
Let's see, paleontologist.
Yeah, maybe.
Let's see, paleontology's student Anna receives the chance of a lifetime when she scores an interview with local billionaire Andrew Killier. He's obsessed with dinosaurs and has poured huge amounts of money. And look at the buzzwords that they're using: poured, huge. into research in an attempt to bring dinosaurs back to life from fossil DNA. Later, after she steals alarm codes from him and decides to sneak into the museum for a night tour, Anna comes face to face with Mr. Keller's true identity. Holy shit. This is better than I possibly imagined. He is a were-dinosaur and has tried...
Oh, so at night he turns into a dinosaur?
Yes. He is a were-dinosaur and he has tried to bring back other dinosaurs from the dead in order to fulfill his ambition of taking a mate. After waiting millions of years, he's finally grown tired and has decided to take a human mate. Anna is willing and ready, but first... he wants to punish her for breaking into the museum.
Oh, yeah. Punishment. I know that kind of punishment.
Taken in a savage time. The Bodice Raptor.
Yeah, I'm looking...
You know what? There are many, many things that come up on this.
I Googled and searched dinosaur erotica. And I gotta say, Christy Sims has most everything going on here.
Okay. I married a Werosaurus.
I mean, that sounds retarded.
Let's see. Love among the dinosaurs. Oh my god, this is even crazier. Just when you think you can't be topped. I'm not even making this name up. Zondar the Bear wrote, Love Among the Dinosaurs, a prehistoric... Golden Shower Chronicle.
Wow.
Let's see. A chance meeting with a stranger during a... I'm skipping ahead on this because you don't really need to know the backstory. Meeting with a stranger during a hunt leaves her panting and eager to spread her legs for his oversized manhood. Yeah. Afterwards, she uses her warm urine stream to mark the wonderful man with her personal scent. And brings him back to her tribe.
I mean, that sounds hot.
where he teaches her and several other villagers about the pleasures of backdoor sex and group intimacy.
This sounds great.
Oh my! He's written a whole bunch of this. He's written it. Let's see. My Pisa Girl, A Lifetime... of Hot Golden Love, A Golden Shower Chronicle, Volume 1.
Oh, yeah.
My Pizza Girl, A Pee, Piss, Urine, Lactation, Breeding, Sex Story. The Nerd with a Footlong Dong.
Nice.
Lottery Winner's Girl, The Yellow Edition, A Golden Shower Modern Modern Harem Love Story. Let's see... A Nasty Trailer Park Love Story, A Pee Piss Water Sports Love Story.
Ooh, yeah. I like how they Pee Piss Water Sports Love Story.
This is a good one. Elizabeth's Story. Now, do you remember My Pizza Girl before it?
Yeah.
Elizabeth's Story is the official prequel to My Pizza Girl.
Oh, yeah, because I wanted to know more.
Don't fall for the...
The
unofficial one, yeah, for the unofficial prequel.
Fucking idiots.
There's The Girl Next Door. Sounds normal. Is an adorable piss guzzling cutie pie. All right.
Is that it?
Yeah. Meanwhile, back at the Nasty Trailer Park, A Pee Piss Water Sports Dominant Submission Story. This one just gets up front. This must have been one of his early ones. I Pissed on the Farmer's Daughter.
That's just the name of one?
Yes.
That's amazing.
It just says that. Let's see.
I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. You know, I don't think I have any other ideas of what it could be about.
Well, two things about I Pissed on the Farmer's Daughter.
Ugh,
one, please. It has a review that gave it 4 stars.
Really?
I was very curious about this book, so I got it. I admit it was free, but still, I think it was nice and funny. Is this still free? No, it's $2.99 now. The other fun thing is that there is a sample of it.
Oh, that sounds good.
Let's see. Let me find a good part here. The running water pushed on my bladder even harder, and I quickly attempt to unzip my fly and hold my cock out into the breeze. I wasn't, oh my god, huge. That, oh my god, is in quotes, by the way. I wasn't, oh my god, huge, but I've been blessed with a nice hunk of meat between my legs. It was half hard. and I stroked it for a second, enjoying the feel of my hand running up and down my shaft. My bladder finally relaxed, and a hard stream of piss shot out of the tip, cutting a wet line in the dirt before arching off the edge of the clearing. I expected to hear it splashing into the brook, but instead, I heard a gasp from a human throat. Let's see. Now he meets the girl. Did he... Hang on. My bladder spasmed, I leaned over the embankment. Oh, he leaned over the embankment and saw a beautiful brunette woman sitting in a clear spot on the lower bank next to the water. Then he describes her. She opened one eye as she rubbed my piss from her other. What the fuck, man? She asked angrily. Don't you know you're supposed to ask a lady before you piss on her head? And then that's all the preview is. I agree, it's very short.
Huh.
As that one other guy said.
Yeah, I mean, that was way too short.
There are a lot of pee stuff. There, you know, in the part where it says customers who brought this item also bought this?
Yeah.
There are 6 pages of piss-related stories.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's more pissing than I dare to think about.
This is really, really, really weird. Oh, so this guy's kind of extreme because his bio says, please be aware that these stories have not been run past an editor of any skill because editors tend to cry blood from their melted eyeballs and stab themselves repeatedly after reading this content.
Shut the fuck up.
Hang on, there's more.
As
a result of their human frailties, you may find the occasional typographical error lurking in your story, waiting to jerk you from your fictional world. And apologies for those errors that slip past is yours if you want it. But seriously, this thing costs less than a comic book. I think we'll both survive.
Who wrote that, Andrew?
Fuck that guy. Oh, well, Zondar's stuff comes from New Orleans via the dark red asshole of Satan's slutty daughter. And her almost too nice best friend, Carla Sue. It is gross and nasty and digs deep into the dark places that we all have, but mostly refuse to acknowledge. This guy's pretty fucking extreme.
Guy sucks. Sounds like a real douchebag.
I can't believe that this is a thing. Like, that there's so much of this out there.
There's just so much piss sex stuff.
Yeah.
I can believe it.
Really? I guess. When, I'm sorry, I must have missed this title. Who Wants to Pee on a Billionaire?
No, I think I get the... Not I don't get it in the way that I like it, but I get the piss sex more than I get, like, the dinosaur sex.
Oh, you know what? I actually had a thought of that a little while ago. That I got sidetracked by, obviously, something. I heard this thing where, like, people who watch, who are, like, addicted to porn, watch it so much that they just keep, like, getting bored with what they're watching. So they just move, like, keep moving on to stranger and stranger things.
Yeah.
So that at some point, there's even, like, straight guys that the only thing that they can watch is gay porn because it's still, like, the only, like, no-no that there is for them. So maybe it's like this. Like, maybe this chick has explored every other type of erotica, and she's like, fuck it, dragons are all I got left. And then she reached a point with everything that had been in existence, and then she was like, all right, I'm going to get fucked by were-tigers now.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm going to start going to make up shit.
She's just getting bored by all this shit. I can see it.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I probably just don't. So, I mean, maybe it's all just, like, relative where just to the amount of porn that you actually take in. Where it's like, if I took in way more porn, like, every day, maybe eventually I'd move on to this kind of shit.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd be like, give me mythical creatures having sex with whatever.
Yeah, maybe.
Shit, there's a lot of it, though. This book has 9 other pages of, oh, here's one. My ex is a Rex. apparently the sex wasn't that good. Well, sir, thank you for bringing that to everyone's attention.
You're very welcome.
We will now be never able to get it out of our mind.
Well, I hope you all enjoy it, and definitely check out Christy Sims and her wonderful books.
I feel like nobody should ever do that ever.
Yeah, I'm not really endorsing her. This has been But You're Wrong. I'm Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Bodell.
Remember, everyone, no regrets, and if his dick is scaly and cold, you might be fucking a dinosaur.